Hello, everyone, and welcome on to Branded. This is the podcast that takes you behind the scenes and beyond the brand to give you the clarity and confidence to challenge the status quo and show the fuck up in your own life. We're talking with Allie Turner today. I am so excited to bring you this interview. Allie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
So Allie and I, we met at the Rich Queen event, West Palm Beach, November, right? 2023, I believe it was. I don't know. This time is like... it's crazy these days. But her and I kind of met in passing, and she was somebody that I was like, I kept locking eyes with her or seeing her in the room. And I'm like, I need to get to know her. And so after the event, we connected a little bit more and we talked about doing a podcast swap. So recently I was able to record for her podcast, and we'll put the link in the show notes so you guys can go check it out as well. But let me give you a little bit of a rundown. So Allie is a serial entrepreneur. And like, I want to pick your brain about so many things, and we'll do some of it here in the episode. But she is the founder and CEO of 3 online businesses. Like, this woman is working, and she's also an advocate of conscious work-life operating systems. So if you're running 3 businesses, you better have your shit together in life too, right? So you're going to have to give us a little bit of lowdown on that. She is the owner of Satva, which is an all-in-one business growth platform. She and her world-class team, they create sustainable, scalable, and simple systems for their clients, essentially taking the unsexy bits of business and making it really seamless, which is totally my jam. So I love it, love it, love it. Allie, let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about, like, before you started Satva and 3 online businesses, what did life look like, and like, how did you get into all of this?
That is such a great question. I love that. It's been a wild ride, I will say. I started my first business straight out of college. I knew I didn't want to do the whole corporate thing. I had to work for myself. I had to set my own schedule. And that was a feeling. The reality of it was a little bit different because, of course, when you set your own schedule, you can do whatever you want. So it's been a long road figuring out what really works for me and how to find that work-life balance. So it's been a big, big part of my journey. But my first business was an agency. I saw some ad, you know, some course on how to do digital marketing. And I thought, okay, that sounds doable. Like I did marketing in college, so probably I could make that work. And, you know, I invested like thousands of dollars and I learned all of the tips and tricks and all the tools. And it was really fun. I scaled that business really quickly because I did have good coaching. I got really burnt out. I definitely hit a point where I was like, okay, this scaled faster than I expected. And the business was successful, but I didn't feel successful. Most people who have heard me talk will have heard me say that before, because it was a unique feeling where I'm like, I should be happier. I should be happy right now. I should be loving this. This is great. But, you know, I was building a huge team. We had tons of clients from all over the country. I was mostly working with home service-based businesses. So, you know, a lot of bro marketing tactics, a lot of, you know, Facebook and Instagram ads, a lot of appointment setting. It was a process for sure. And I got to a point where I realized, okay, there's a disconnect here. If the business is successful, but I don't feel good about it, then there's something wrong. I'm not doing, you know, what I love. I'm not doing something right. Mm-hmm. So I took a long, hard look at everything I built. And I very fortunately found a way to reconfigure the business into what I wanted it to be. And that's how Satva was born. So we transitioned from a done-for-you marketing agency into a DIY software platform, meaning all of our clients could log in, they could run their entire marketing system from inside the platform. They had direct access to what was actually going on in their business. And it worked really well because our clients were like, hey, this is actually what we want. You know, we actually want to have our hands in our business. We want to understand what's the secret sauce that you guys are using and how can we do it ourselves and maybe even do it better because it's our business. You know, we know it inside and out. So they really wanted to have control over their own destiny. That's something one of my clients said to me one time that really stuck. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, every business does want that level of direct access and direct control over where they're going. So it was a really brilliant transition. Best decision I ever made. And so that's how Satva became what it is today. And we've grown really quickly. We grew about 3x in the last year. We've been serving a variety of different industries. We've expanded beyond home services into really all services. And I felt really called to serve coaches and consultants in the online space because I saw so many people, and especially women, struggling with building a business they didn't love and realizing they wanted to do something different. And maybe it wasn't building a business. Maybe it was a corporate job. Maybe it was 9 to 5. They wanted something new. Mm-hmm. And that's what we provide. We provide the ability to build a business the way you want to build it and put together the infrastructure in a way that gives you the balance that probably is failing you at the moment and probably is not quite there yet. So it's really fun, really fulfilling work.
That's amazing. And I love that you, instead of just quitting, you're like, okay, how can I pivot this? Because clearly there's a market for it because the business just exploded faster than you could sustain it. And I think that's actually a really good point to make when it comes to being a business owner and how so frequently I come into contact with people that are saying things like, I want to be a millionaire like tomorrow. It's like, okay, but do you have things in place that can sustain that level of client conversations, bookings, calls? I mean, even just having the money mindset to have that kind of, you know, thing happen to you. And I've had this conversation with a couple of people because as I grow my own business and I'll have coaches or somebody who's, you know, leveled up a little bit ahead of me right now. And they're like, yeah, but if you did this, 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 then you could just flood the gates. And I'm like, hold the phone. Maybe I don't want to flood the gates. Like I want to have a touch point with my clients and I don't want it to spin out and be something I can't manage. Mm-hmm. So I love that you were able to recognize that for yourself and allow not the money to be the decision maker, but to know like, I'm super young, I'm building a successful business, I need to pivot, like, let's make something happen. And it's even more beautiful than you could have like ever imagined.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's so true. And I think what's funny about it is it's come full circle because now I'm able to help people who were in my same shoes mm-hmm. get to that next level where you realize, okay, I want something different. I want something better. And not being afraid to make those changes. And it's funny because I found over time that the hardest part for me was not working myself too hard. I've always been somebody who, you know, I pushed myself to get straight A's in school and I did all of the sports. I did all the extracurriculars. I applied to all of the colleges. Like I was pushed really hard as a kid. My family expected a lot of me and I inherited those expectations. Yeah. I took those upon myself. And so when I started my business, I had all those same expectations, right? Millionaire within a year and within months probably at that time is what I expected. And, you know, and it would be easy. It would be effortless. And, you know, what I learned is that there are steps you need to take. There's the foundation and then there's the framework and then you can put in the walls and then you can put in the furniture and you can put on the, all the paintings on the wall. You get all of the pieces in order and it works. You build something really beautiful, really special. But if you try to skip to the paintings before you have walls to put them on, it's not going to work. And so it's a matter of being patient with ourselves, not lowering our expectations, but tempering them so that we don't run ourselves into the ground. We don't burn out. And we realize, okay, we're doing it right. Instead of doing it quickly, we're doing it right. And it doesn't mean we can't do it quickly, right? There's no reason you can't, but check yourself, right? Am I doing the correct things in the correct order? Or am I skipping ahead so that I don't have a foundation years later and the whole thing falls apart?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think people get overly excited when it comes to launching a new business. They're like, I need a website. And it's like, okay, but do you know who you're talking to first? Like, let's have that conversation first. Because like you said, it's, you've got to have that foundational support in your business. And I think that's what is so awesome about people getting involved in a platform like Sapa from the get-go. And I've said this before, even before I was aware of like all-in-one platforms or any of the things, I was just using AWeber as like an email platform. But I would tell people all the time, start your email, like start opting in people to your email list before you're ready to send emails, before you're ready to do all the things. Like start when you have one person on the list, because it's so much easier than having to backtrack and build that infrastructure out in that foundation. But if you can get it from the get-go, and I imagine with your platform, you have sort of probably levels of where business owners are at. And you're like, okay, here's the foundational stuff you guys need to really get in, and we'll migrate your business up into the other stuff when it's ready for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so true. And what I see too often is not people don't want to stick with something long enough to make it work. You know, there's this feeling in the online space of like, okay, I'm going to launch it. And if it doesn't go, I got to come up with a whole new offer. I've got to come up with a whole new funnel, a whole new marketing strategy. And it's like, no, stick to one thing, right? Sell it on repeat. Learn how to sell it. The first few times you try to sell it, you're not going to sell it. It's not going to sell, right? Like, it's just not going to sell because you don't know what the heck you're doing yet. And it's great, but you can't expect it to just take off immediately. And you also can't give up when you've done it one time or two times or five times or 10 times and it hasn't worked yet. That's how you learn. You have to keep failing so that you learn what to do next. And what we do at Sattva, it's so funny. We build those systems and the infrastructure to be able to do that. And we have so many people who come to us and say, okay, I want to do this offer, this offer, this offer, this offer. And I'm like, have you sold any of those yet? It's like, no. I have this in mind. I have this idea for this offer. It's like, okay, well, let's start with one thing. Let's get you an offer. Let's put it together. Let's sell it. Let's sell it again and again. And then we can start building on that and expanding the offer suite into multiple different things. But you have to become known for one thing at first. Otherwise, people don't know, okay, wait, she's talking about this. And now she's talking about this completely different topic. And it doesn't mesh. It doesn't jive in their brain. You know, it's got to fit. And so it's always building blocks, right? We can't be building the entire business that's going to show up 3 years from now today. We have to have that in mind, but we start with step A.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I love that you mentioned that it really is about getting very intentional about what is the offer that you're going to lead with. And it's okay if that eventually drops off, but you have to try it in order to even know if it's going to work or not. And I do think that is a myth that a lot of business owners, they get kind of too overly excited about all the different offers they have for people. I mean, that was me when I first started. I'm like, people, every person needs everything that I can do. And it's like, that's confusing. That's confusing for people. And honestly, it's confusing for you as the business owner to show up in that way. And I know whenever I decided to get really specific with my branding work and like what I was willing to do and not do, it meant that I was having better conversations. Like the right kind of people were seeing my content and responding to it. And then I in turn was having the right kind of people booking my consultation calls. Like it all just flowed, but you really have to create that intention from the get-go and not just like throw spaghetti at the wall and be like, okay, what's the thing that's going to stick, and have 10, 12 offers out there. And it's like, yeah, it's confusing for people. So on that note, because I feel like this kind of ties into this question. Was there a moment along the way that at the time it really felt like a total failure, like bad thing, bad moment, shouldn't have happened, but it really sort of turned into an opportunity?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And yeah, you know, it actually does tie into that. It's interesting because so my first business was an agency, as I said. Mm-hmm. And I was going based on a very clear outline of the business model, very clear coaching on exactly what to do. I chose an industry that I felt called to. I say home services because we did expand into, you know, roofing and HVAC to some extent, but it was really mostly solar. I still work in the industry today. My other company is still in the industry. But solar really called my attention, called my energy because, hey, it's renewable, right? Yeah. Save the planet. Let's help people out and, you know, make some money in the process. Great. So I had a very specific offer. There was a very specific thing that these solar companies wanted. They wanted to sell more solar, right? Yeah. Very, very simple. It's not like coaching where your audience needs 20 different things from you, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a nutritionist, if you're like a health coach or something, they need dietary help. They need fitness help. They need workouts. They need a community to support them. Like there's a million things that you could come up with as an offer.
Right.
But my first business, and it's funny because, you know, in many ways it felt like I'm doing the wrong thing. And I spent all this time building this business model that I don't actually love. But looking back on it now, I can see how it taught me how to build something and stick to it, how to see what my audience actually needed. They needed people on their calendars to sell solar to. Yeah. So I had to focus 100% on that. I had to sell that offer over and over and over again. I had to talk to the same types of people all over the country, day in, day out on sales calls, and explain what we could do, how we could get them more appointments, how we could get them more deals. And the interesting thing too is that, you know, it taught me to refine the offer because I would run it, you know, I would sell it, I would sell it, I would sell it. Something would sell, I would close a deal. I would run it and I would figure out, okay, that worked pretty well. You know, maybe it was a retainer model. Maybe they're paying monthly for us to run their marketing for them. And it's flat rate no matter how many deals they close. And then we realized, okay, that works pretty well. But what if we also took a cut of the deals, performance-based? So then if we do like a hybrid retainer and performance, okay, that seems to work pretty well. Oh, it's selling better too, because it's less money up front. And we have, you know, we have skin in the game. You know, we have a stake in things. And then that sold really well. And then I'm thinking, okay, so how do we turn this into something even better? How do we do full performance? How do we earn commission on the deals that close? Like refining the offer. And that's what most people skip over in the coaching industry, because, you know, now that Sava is really focused on coaches, consultants, and online service providers, you know, there's this tendency to just go in a million different directions. And that's why I actually, even though at the time it felt like, okay, yeah, I'm doing the wrong thing, I need to change completely what I'm doing in my business, I learned so much from that experience. I learned how to stick to something, how to take rejection, how to deal with it when people weren't buying, how to deal with it when I was on sales calls 8 hours a day and nobody was buying, how to then refine the offer, refine my messaging, refine my scripting, figure out what would sell, deliver the offer. You know, there's just so many things that go into it. Yeah. And if you don't give yourself breathing room to do that, you just say, oh, it didn't sell, on to the next thing. You never get that experience. And you're going to be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years in and realize you've just been spinning your wheels in a million different directions. So my biggest advice, I know this isn't an advice question.
No, let's take it.
My biggest advice is, you know, pick something and stick to it, you know, stick to it through the tough times, because we're so impatient. We're you know, trained by society at this point to just expect instant gratification on everything we do. And we have to let go of that. We have to say, okay, I'm going to stick to this. That's grit. That's perseverance. That's, you know, when the going gets tough, get tougher mentality, which, you know, may be a bit outdated, but I think it's really, really useful still today.
Yeah. And it's definitely situational as well, like that sort of mentality. But I 100% agree with you. When there are certain aspects of your business that you really can't put a definitive, did this work or did this not work, until it's actually run a course of like at least 30, 60, 90 days, right? It's got a little bit of breath to it where it's been able to actually be experienced by other people. You've been able to see some feedback from it. Like, until you have that longevity of something, you really can't confidently say, did this work or did it not? And the example I use frequently with that kind of concept is my social media content. January of 2023, I was like at the point where I was about to say, fuck it, I'm done posting on social. I'm so sick of it. I'm exhausted. I'm anxious all the time. I feel like I can't ever keep up. Like, I'm just treading water, essentially, is what it always felt like. So I decided, okay, I need to get really intentional about my content. And I told myself, like, okay, Sarah, you're only going to post about these topics, and you're going to do this for like 3 months, and you're not going to veer off course. Now, of course, in the process, I allowed myself to play a little bit and make some really small pivots, but I didn't go completely off into left field and like just ditch the promise that I made to myself. But in doing that, I discovered, like, you don't have to post 7 days a week, multiple times a day. Just because that works for somebody else, I don't have to do that. And it just evolved into me trusting myself more and giving myself permission to do what feels right for me and my business. And I do think that with the coaching industry kind of in this boom that it has been in since the pandemic, that you're right, there are so many coaches out there that just don't give themselves the opportunity to fully see their offers come to life before they just squash them and say, okay, well, I guess that didn't work. Exactly. Like, the failure is 100% part of the process of launching an offer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's no mistakes, only lessons. You know, it's not failure. It's how you learn what actually does work. And you got to give yourself that grace. You got to give yourself room to experience all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Removing the judgment and being able to just look at how something is performing unbiasedly and not saying like, okay, this is a direct reflection of my worthiness. Huge. Yeah. It's crazy how many people do that. I mean, I did that for a little while before I finally was like, this is ridiculous. I finally had that moment of clarity. Like, okay, I don't have to do this anymore. But I do think it's really tricky. And especially when people are doing launches like quarterly or something, you know, when it's happening a lot, people are faced with the quote unquote, did it succeed or not kind of conversation a little more regularly than I guess like what I would be in my business, right? So yeah, I don't know. I heard at the Faith Over Fear event, I don't know if you went to that last year, but John Maxwell was talking and he was talking about like success and failure. And he's just like, I think it's ridiculous how people think that these are two different entities. Like you cannot have one without the other. Failure is not failure without success, and success is not success without failure. I mean, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Together.
Exactly. I love that. It's so true.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. I want to move into branding a little bit, marketing. I mean, this is your jam too. It's totally mine. So when you think of the brand that you've created just as a whole, can you share what that journey has looked like essentially the evolution of your brand?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because it has evolved so much over time, you know, starting in such a different industry, you know, changing our target market, changing our target client. It's been many brands. I wouldn't even consider it one coherent, you know, thread of a brand since the very beginning, at least. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's interesting because I feel like the brand that we've built at this stage is like my favorite version of the brand. And yet, as we're talking about lessons and, you know, the thought of failure, the thought of mistakes, or the thought of what we could have done better, I can also see how it's like it all led to this point. Yeah. It all led to where we are now, which is the most fulfilling place for me personally. It feels like me. It feels fun. It feels exciting. It feels like it's going to attract our ideal client, of course, but it also resonates with me personally, which I think I've struggled with that over the years because I built a brand that I thought would appeal to the target market I was working with, but that was all that was in my mind. That's all I was thinking about. And if that's all you're thinking about, you're not thinking about how you feel about it or what you're going to feel when you look at your website, when you look at your logo, when you, you know that people are out there seeing it and engaging with it. That's, I think that counts equally as much as how it appears to your ideal client and what should target them, what should attract them. So I feel like there's finally a synergy there. There's a total balance there that feels really good and really refreshing.
Oh, I love to hear that. That's like, that is the freaking goal. That, at least in my opinion, when it comes to branding your business, it's not about positioning your brand to manipulate your audience to buy the thing. Like for me, that's not how I see branding and marketing. Unfortunately, that is what a lot of marketing and advertising and whatnot, that's just every commercial you see or hear is essentially targeting your pain point and saying you need this because you have a problem. And so when I talk to a lot of business owners, my job on that first consultation call is to like peel back those conditioned layers and say, okay, let's forget all the things that you think you know about marketing and advertising and why you should brand your business. And let's figure out a way to like allow you to fall in love with it too. It's not just about the client. Like you're the one who has to live in this business daily. And like you said, if you go to your own website and you're like, ugh, that's, nobody wants that. And why would you be excited to then work your business and share it and all of the things? And so, yeah, that the reason I like this question is because it really is like a passion of mine for people to understand that your brand is an evolution. Like as you grow and evolve as a human, your brand simultaneously will start to create its own sort of identity and entity in a sort, but it is a reflection of you. I mean, it has to be for it to be something that sustainably continues to grow as you grow. Otherwise, you end up outgrowing your business or the concepts or, you know, whatever, and scrapping the whole thing because you're like, I don't even know where to begin anymore because this just isn't me. And I think a lot of people encounter that, you know, rather than allowing it to just sort of pivot. And I love that you've gotten to experience that journey and at such a young age too, honestly, like you've experienced this huge shift at like such a young age that a lot of people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, like they're just at the beginning stages of their journey. And how does, I'm curious about that actually, when you're having client conversations, Is that something that comes up sometimes where they're like, you're so young, how do you have all of this experience and knowledge at STEP? This is just a one-off question that I have.
That's a funny question. It does come up. It comes up often. People don't really know how old I am either. It's not like it's something I advertise, which now I feel like I have to say I'm 25, you know,
you don't have to,
like, on the edge of their seat trying to figure it out. But yeah, I think people don't really know. You know, I work with a lot of people, especially in my other business. I work with a lot of people who are, you know, 45, 50 plus, you know, and have been in their industry for decades, you know, decades of experience. And that's where I got my start, working with people who were very well established, you know, Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies, just very experienced people. And it forced me to grow up quickly, you know, to put it simply. I mean, I also tend to spend time with people who are older than me. I was so excited to grow up when I was a teenager. You know, I was just one of those people that wanted to get things going, just like get moving. You know, I'm like, I'm over the whole high school thing. I don't want to mess around with this. I don't want to mess around with college. I want to like get out in the world and do stuff. So, So it doesn't come up that often, but sometimes if somebody recognizes, especially the people who are, you know, 40, 50, 60, they come to me and they're like, wait a minute, you did this? I'm like, well, yeah, I just have high expectations of myself, I guess. You know, it doesn't feel foreign to me, but sometimes people point it out and I think, oh yeah, I guess so.
Well, I think what's unique about it is that you decided to follow like your intuition and knowing that you didn't want to experience having a job like from the get-go. Most people are so conditioned to be like, well, I have to at least try to have a quote unquote career before I try to do the thing that I really want to do. That's usually the unfortunate narration of life that happens. I mean, that's what happened with me, honestly. And I'm 36, so I'm a decade older than you, but I've always kind of been the same way. Whenever I was like, my mom used to say, what are you, 7 going on 17? Like, cool it, you know? Like, I was always a little too mature for my age, like the way I would speak. And yeah, even as an adult, like my best friend, she's 60. Like, age is just... I love that. I feel like I recognize that in you. Like, even it doesn't really matter that you're young. You have this very like calm knowingness about you that not a lot of young people have, I think is really just what the differentiator is, you know? But anyways, I love that. So as we know, entrepreneurship is like constantly evolving and growing, as we've been discussing. What's something that's coming up next for you as, you know, all of us get to know you and can keep our eyes open for fun and exciting things?
Yeah, so many exciting things. Right now, Sava is continuing to grow. Big thing for me personally is just continuing to, you know, step into CEO self and not be too involved in the business, rather working on the business. That's been a big focus for me in the end of 2023 and continuing into 2024. Which now more than ever feels solidified. I have a really amazing team, you know, just wonderful people. I feel very supported by them. And now I'm in the process of launching my third business, which I won't even get into because it's not really related. It's in the solar industry. So, you know, full circle experience there, which is super exciting. I will say that's been a big, big push for me this year. And I think, you know, it's funny. I mentioned it probably when we first started talking, but life operating systems, I think, is a big thing for me. And throughout my entrepreneurial career, I've had times where I'm on it and times where I'm so not. I'm just so burnt out. And, you know, again, for people who are out there starting their business or trying to scale their business, I mean, just don't neglect yourself. Like, that's the biggest thing that I've learned through my journey, like the biggest thing. And so for me, you know, again, through the end of last year and really into this year, that's a big focus, is just putting systems in place so that life can be in balance and in harmony. And there's time for all the fun, wonderful things that you want to do. Like, your business doesn't have to consume you. Yes, I wake up at 5 a.m. every day and want to work on my business. And I wake up literally thinking about my business.
No, same.
Right. It's like, it's exciting and it's fun and it should consume you to some extent because you're passionate about it, but it shouldn't consume you to the extent that you're burnt out and exhausted. And I think personally, there's, so many different people saying so many different things about how you have to have a 5-hour morning routine and you have to walk barefoot on the ground and you have to cold plunge and all of these different things, and do whatever feels good to you is what I would say. But at the end of the day, it comes down to checking yourself, right? What am I doing? What is my routine? What works for me? How much sleep do I need each night? What kind of food makes me feel good? Do I feel good after I eat pasta, or do I feel a little bit like, that was too heavy, I can't really work this afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. So what are those things that are going to make the biggest difference in how you feel so that you feel good when you're coming to your work? Because if you don't feel good, and if life's not going good, your business isn't going to feel good either. And then the whole experience is tainted. You might think that you're upset and frustrated with your business, when in reality, it's some subtle imbalance that just needs mm-hmm. to work out of your system.
Oh, 100%. I'm so glad you said that you brought it back to the life work like balance, because it is a constant struggle. And it really comes down to awareness, being aware of the things that make you feel good and the things that don't. And I am constantly having to. So that's the thing with, like, you reach this level of awareness and clarity. Now this is a tool that you have to tap into. It doesn't mean that you never experience the crazy spin out moments anymore. It means that you can control those crazy spin out moments and bring them back to a state of calm faster. Like, instead of it being a 3-day event where you're feeling like sad, angry, happy, all the things, and you're swinging in all directions, instead it's like a 3-minute. Oh, okay. That was stressful. That was a thing. Now I'm back to me, or go take a walk or whatever. I'm so glad you mentioned that. And on that topic, actually, as we wrap up, can you share some of, like, just an overarching concept of what it is, how you guys take the unsexy and you make it seamless? Because anybody listening to this is going to have a chance to book a CEO strategy call with Allie, and she obviously knows her shit. So I want her to kind of give a brief overview of what that process looks like.
Yeah, I love that. It's really going from chaos to clarity. It's going from, you know, total haphazard mess, feeling overwhelmed, stuck, exhausted, burnt out in your business, to simple, clean clarity, simple, streamlined systems. And it's funny because I am a female entrepreneur, and there's a lot of, you know, noise, not bad noise, but just noise, sound out there in the online space around being in flow and doing what feels good and just, you know, moving with the tides to some extent. And that's what people consider feminine entrepreneurship to be. But I personally feel that even though systems have a bit of a masculine energy to them, you know, structure, systems and processes and all of that stuff, it allows the feminine to be free.
Yes.
And so systems actually are, you know, in my opinion, really fucking sexy. Because then you have time for self-care. You feel supported in your business. You feel safe knowing that if somebody goes out and buys your program, everything's going to happen. They're going to fall down that waterfall. They're going to get the email. They're going to get access. They're going to go in. They're going to be happy. You didn't have to touch anything. So mm-hmm. feeling supported, feeling secure in your business comes from having systems in place. Same thing in your life. If you wake up every day and you don't know what you're working on, you don't know, today going to bring? What's my goal for the day? What's my priority? And you're just kind of floating through life, responding to messages on social media, posting some content, you know, floating between Slack and Zoom and Facebook and, you know, spinning your wheels hours on end, you know, task to task, distraction to distraction, nothing actually gets done. So systems in your life to manage your tasks, your projects, your goals, as well as systems in your business to manage your offers, your sales, your clients, really, really important. And yes, there's a masculine energy to it. And yes, there's some resistance to it typically, but mm-hmm. that resistance is coming up because it's going to change things for you. You know that it's a chance to level up. And that's where we come in and hold your hand and make it easy and make it painless so that you don't have to go around and figure it all out yourself and take 6 or 12 months to do it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love that. I love the business that you have. It's very, very aligned with what I do with my clients, because I'm like you, I love the feminine side of things, right? I love it, but it's not about sitting back and doing nothing and being like, oh, life's just going to happen for me. That's not what it is. And I have this sort of love-hate relationship with automation, because on the one hand, the systems aspect of automation, I'm like, oh, chef's kiss. It's amazing. Like, how do you live your life and run your business without it? knowing that someone's going to get a confirmation email or text whenever they do a thing that you want them to do. Like, that frees your mind of any stress and knowing that this person's being taken care of. And you can come back in as the human behind the automation and say, hey, did you enjoy that thing? Like, so it's merging the two together and having that harmony. And I love that that's such an important aspect of your business. And that's why I just vibe with you.
Yeah, I know. I know. Same page. Exactly. Because it's, yeah, it's not fun to go in and set up your email sequence, right? It's
not. It's not. Workflow. Right?
It's like the most boring part of your day. Yeah. But it feels, yeah, exactly. It's so amazing. It feels really freaking good when it's done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, the level of accomplishment when I am done, like building a website and mapping it to everything, I'm like, holy shit, did I just do that? That's like going to make some, that's going to make or break somebody's business right there. Like it's crazy. Anything you'd like to add as we sign off? I'm this conversation.
Yeah. I'm feeling so satisfied with the conversation. It was amazing. And you know, I know your audience will benefit so much from everything that you do. And I'm glad that we have this conversation and that they could hear it. So if anybody needs anything, you know, obviously I'm here. I'd love to connect with anybody in the audience who wants to connect. And again, my biggest advice, simplify and keep yourself sane.
I love it. We need more cheerleaders saying simplify your processes and keep yourself sane. I love it. Thank you so much, Allie. All right, y'all, until next time, check the show notes, get your CEO strategy call booked, and we'll see you on the next show. Thank you so much for listening to Branded, the podcast. Please rate and review. And for more information, visit socialjanemedia.com. I'll see you soon.